The Bible. The Bible. The Bible. It's the Word of God, living and active.
Sharper than any two-edged sword.
It contains all we need for life and godliness, and it reveals to us the mysteries of God. Join us for the next hour as we study the Bible and take your Bible questions. This is Exploring the Word on AFR Talk.
Welcome to Exploring the Word. Dr. Alex McFarland and Bert Harper with you today. And we hope you're having a good day. Here in December, we're getting closer and closer to December. It's like one of those calendars, Alex. You have a countdown to Christmas, you know? And now it's 16 days.
An Advent calendar.
Yeah, you have 16 days to Christmas. And so, man, I don't know how many used to they would say shopping days. You remember that? But now, since everything is open every day of the week, you don't hear that too much. It's just 16 days. But we hope people are getting ready. We're excited at our house and to have a great Christmas. And so we're just glad people would listen and hope they continue to make much of Jesus in this Christmas, don't we?
Exactly. You know, one of the things I love that the American Family Association had these wristbands this year, and I was on the radio with Tim Wallman the other day, and I said, let's promote the wristbands, and he said, well, they're all gone.
Yeah, man, it was a hot selling item, and it did not take long. What was funny, our vice president made a trip up in Branson, Missouri, as a matter of fact. It won't be hurtful to tell. And he was checking into his hotel, and the lady that was checking him in, she was wearing one of the Christmas pins that we have sold in the past. And Buddy could not help but notice that. He sent it back, and we got a picture of it. And then he gave her a wristband. She was loaded double, you know, with the pin and the badge and then the wristband.
Well, let me say something to everyone listening. And by the way, folks, welcome to Exploring the Word. Alex McFarland here, Bert Harper. It's going to be a great day today. I want to ask a favor of everybody listening. And Sunday is December 11. Then in a week, it'll be December 18. And then Christmas Day, December 25th. So we've got three more Sundays. Here's a thing I would ask you to do. Invite somebody to church one of these days, because at Christmas time, Bert, I have found that at Christmas time, people, there's maybe just a little softening, there's an openness, you know, and what an opportunity to really, I'll just say, leverage the season of the year. And somebody who maybe is away from God, or maybe somebody who's not a believer yet, or out of church, or maybe somebody lonely. I saw a man last night that I haven't seen in a decade. Didn't know that he had some family issues going on. He's been out of church about 5 years. And I said, would you come to church with me on Sunday? And he said, you know, I will. And
Amen.
So here's the assignment, everybody. We're always given a homework assignment, Bert and I. Here's the assignment. You got three Sundays. Try to at least on one of those invite somebody to church.
Amen. Great, great challenge, a great blessing. And you could help somebody's lives be turned around. So we pray for that. Well, Alex, let's update people. This has been a different kind of week. We've had some interviews, and we're taking more calls. And let me remind you, we're going to start taking calls in the second segment and just place the last, because the next 2 weeks we're going to have pre-recorded programs about the book of Revelation and the book of Proverbs. We did these studies, and if you like them and you'd like to give them to someone or you'd like to study more, they're going to be available at afastore.net. And also in the book of Proverbs, your book's available. And so right now we're taking phone calls in the second segment. But until then, you and I talked about it. You had a very emotional day today. And as I heard you say, you just got back from a funeral service. And I want you to tell the people about the individual that you helped with the service for and why it was so important, brother.
Well, God bless you. You know, folks, I'm so blessed. I'm so blessed because there have been a whole lot of people who've given me a chance over the years. You know, Bert, there's this old saying, nobody succeeds unless a whole lot of other people want them to. I thank God that 6 years ago plus, I got a call out of the clear blue from a man named Jim Stanley, and he gave me a chance to be on the radio, and thank the Lord for that. But much more than 20 years ago, I got something a gift called Opportunity from a man named Dr. Pat Cronin. And Pat Cronin was the pastor of Friendly Avenue Baptist Church in Greensboro, North Carolina. Friendly Avenue Baptist is really kind of one of the flagship Southern Baptist churches in North Carolina. Great history, really great history. In fact, Bert, it was Friendly Avenue Baptist under Dr. Leroy Parker that brought Billy Graham to Greensboro in 1952. Billy Graham, or maybe it was 51 or 52, Franklin Graham has the poster of this in his office. But Friendly Avenue brought a very young Billy Graham to Greensboro. Billy Graham ended up staying like 8 or 10 weeks. Mm. And not only did it really change the city of Greensboro, but I'm told that it was kind of a step in the Billy Graham ministry. But Pat Cronin was there for 20-some years, and he hired me. I was the first person he ever hired, and he hired me to be his youth pastor. And I was fresh out of Liberty and had zero experience. I had never written a book. I had nothing to offer, no track record, and he gave me an opportunity. And, Bert, I learned things from Pastor Pat, my first boss in ministry. And he would say things like this. He would say, "Hey, if you're going to be there, be there." You know, he was a great leader, a great mentor. And so I got the call on Sunday that he had died. And of course, we went to be with his family. And Bert, there was the executive director of the state convention, Dr. Milton Hollifield. And there was Stephen Rummage from Bell Shoals Baptist. He's the president of the Florida Baptist Convention. And the place was packed. Do you know there were 3 Jewish rabbis there from the Jewish synagogues in the central North Carolina area? Pat was a friend to them. And the place was packed, and he's with the Lord. Great celebration. But what an honor to honor a man that invested in me when I had nothing to offer, but he gave me a chance. And, you know, if I could be a tenth of the person he was, I would be very fortunate. Now, my point is this, Bert, and I want you to weigh in on this. Here's a man, Dr. Pat Cronin, his dear wife Brenda, but he finished well. And, you know, life is really brief. I mean, Pastor Pat was 65 years old. That's not old, I assure you.
I guarantee you it's not.
Every one of us, folks, we do not know. There's an old gospel song, "Keep your lamp trimmed and burning, because you don't know when the day will come." We all need to finish well, don't we?
Amen.
Jerry Falwell used to say, everybody either makes a mark or leaves a scar.
One or the other. One of the guys
let's
we
finish
quote,
well.
Yeah, one of the guys we quote all the time, Vance Havener, he had a message,
right?
And it was called "Home Before Dark." And as a preacher boy there in North Carolina, his dad would take him down to the train, and he would catch a train on Sunday morning, and he would go to a church somewhere in the area that could preach, and he would preach that day and maybe that afternoon, and then he'd get on a train and come back home, and his dad would pick him up again. We're talking about just a teenage boy. And his dad said, "Well, son, be home before dark." He took that and he made it a big deal about finishing well, a whole sermon on finishing well, that you stay faithful all the way through, and there's never a point where you relax. You always got to be continuing going toward Christ. And that's a great testimony of your former pastor. And Alex, with that in mind, 2 things. One is mentorship and finishing well. And I want to read a passage of Scripture today. It's from 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. And a matter of fact, I believe it's some of the greatest advice that you have as a minister, as a Sunday school teacher, as a small group leader. Listen to this. "You therefore, my son," this is Paul writing to Timothy, "be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." Now listen to verse 2. "And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." Now, Alex, that's mentorship. Here was Paul saying,
yes,
"You've heard me preach. I want you to commit these to faithful men who are able to teach others also." That's passing on the torch. And it's not just finishing well, but it's lighting the way for others to come after you. You remember the song, it's not too old. It says, "May those who come behind us find us faithful." And we want to be right. faithful to them. But how important is mentorship?
Oh, well, I think it's vitally important because, you know, life gives us experience, and experience gives us insights and really maturity. And there, I really think there's a responsibility to, you know, look at those following along behind us and to help them get to the next peg on the ladder if we can. And there's a phrase that I've come to use, Bert, I call it life-on-life transference. Now, I know, friends, we're going fast here. We're giving a lot of, like, sayings and cliches. There's an old saying, more is caught than taught. Mm. Now, we can give information, but very often even more more potent is our life example. And remember, often people are listening, but even more often people are watching. And every last one of us, do you know your influence is a stewardship issue that God's given you? You've got family members that are watching, and you've got neighbors, and you've got coworkers, and you know, you got people at church, and it's life on life transference. I think what Paul is trying to convey there in 2 Timothy 2 is, here's the thing, that our life, which will touch so many other lives, should ultimately point them to Christ. And people would want to follow our footsteps because our footsteps were following in the leading of the Master.
Amen. When you look at that passage, you really find four levels, okay? You find it starting with Paul, and you really go back to Stephen if you want to do that. But starting with Paul, then Timothy. Then Timothy commits these to faithful men. That's the third group, who will be able to teach others also. That's four levels from one to the other. And this is so important, and that's what we try to do on Exploring the Word. At the end, we usually say, tell someone about Exploring the Word, but more importantly, tell them about Jesus. This is what we're talking about. We're talking about passing it on. Another cliche about evangelism. Someone has said, and you probably know who it was, it's one beggar telling another beggar where to find bread.
D.T. Niles.
D.T. Niles. And it's so true. And a lot of folks do not know how desperate they are for God. They're trying to make it on their own, and they're trying to exist. But there's a vacuum in the heart of every individual that can only be filled through Jesus Christ. He's the only one that can fill it. There's going to be that vacuum that only He can fill. And so that's what this is about. That's what the gospel's about. And notice what Jesus did. How many times did Jesus pull away from the multitude to be with the 12? Over and over again in the Gospels, didn't he? So he could spend this life, what you said, life on life, life-to-life experiences, transference. And that's what he was doing, wasn't it?
He was. You know, I spoke at this funeral today, and it was just great to see so many people and to honor this man. A lady comes up to me out of the crowd. You know what she said? She said, Alex McFarland, I listen to you every day on Exploring the Word. I had no idea you'd be here. And so... Listen, Bert and I are at a place in our life where God's given us a chance to, you know, say a good word for Jesus, and we're trying to. But wherever you are in life, you have this opportunity to know Him and make Him known.
Amen. I believe that's the theme of every church, to know Him and to make Him known. 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840. Give us a call. Alex and I would love to hear from you.
Oops, there's a piece I missed a little bit.
Grandpa, why do we always pick up litter when we go hiking?
Well, we're just making it nicer for people who come after us a little bit. It's called stewardship.
My grandfather taught me that you should always leave a place better than you found it. That it's important to invest in the lives of your children and grandchildren, leaving them with a godly legacy they can build on. That's why I decided to set up a charitable gift annuity with the AFA Foundation.
It's called stewardship.
I know that my gift will support a ministry that honors the biblical principles I hold dear, and it's a way to invest in the future of our country. The AFA Foundation also arranged for me to have a steady fixed income, so I don't have to worry in the midst of changing times.
Call the AFA Foundation today to find out how you can set up a charitable gift annuity. Just call 800-326-4543, extension 345.
In Matthew 11:28, Jesus promises to give us rest. But Dr. Tony Evans says it takes an action on our part before that benefit affects our burdens. He'll explain as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
I was going through the airport one day and I had suitcases in both hands. And I'm carrying suitcases in both hands and somebody said to me, "Don't those cases have wheels?" I'm walking, carrying, sweating, rushing, all that. And somebody said, don't they have wheels? Why are you carrying that burden? I put them down, pulled the handles up. The weight of the cases never changed, but my burden became light. They were as heavy as they ever were, but I didn't feel the weight of them like I was feeling them because they had something built in that changed the nature of how they could be handled. God is saying, I've got something built in for your weariness and weight of life that if you let me do it for as long as you have to deal with the case anyway, I can put wheels on that thing so it doesn't weigh what it used to weigh. My burden is light. Wheels for you to deal with the realities of life. God's guarantee is not that there will be no problems. His guarantee is that he will change their weight. They won't be that heavy. And it'll be tailor-made with your name on it.
Discover how you can lose the load of pain and guilt you've been carrying around. Check out Tony's 6-part teaching series, Comforting the Afflicted. Available online at tonyevans.org. And be sure to join us next time for 2 Minutes with Tony.
You're listening to Exploring the Word.
Let His Word be your strength and hold on to the promises. Hold on to the promises. Jesus is alive, so hold tight.
Now, back to the Bible study with Alex and Bert on American Family Radio.
I hope you're holding on to the promises of God. Sometimes I just want to tell you that's all you have, because the reality that you're going through may be as hard as it could be, but you have the promise that He'll never leave us, He'll never forsake us, but He is going to bring us through to the other side. Alex, we got people already calling, and we want to get as many calls as we can, because we want to remind people next 2 weeks they're going to hear about a revelation in Proverbs study, and we'll not be taking phone calls. So we're kind of trying to make up for it this week, brother, and taking phone calls in 2 segments.
We really are, yes.
And when you and I do a meeting together, I've noticed this. Yes, I love to preach and you love to preach, but brother, there's an extra kick in your step when we go to the Q&A. I mean, you feed off of that.
We like it. Because you never know what it's going to be. And I've got to say, the Exploring the Word audience, we get some really, really astute, very insightful questions, don't we?
We do, and we praise the Lord for that. So we thank you. And we also get questions people asking, said, what do I need to do? I'm at this church. I'm in this marriage. I have this relationship. And Alex and I do our best to say, pray, seek the counsel from the Word of God and from wise counsel from others. And so anyway, let's jump in, and we're going to go to Texas, and we're going to talk to Josh. Josh, welcome to Exploring the Word.
Well, thank you, brother. God bless you both very much. I'm very excited about the up-and-coming pre-recorded segments of Revelation and Proverbs. I had called you as a first-time caller earlier in the week, where you were breaking down between John 1 and Genesis 1, and I brought up Genesis 3:8. I just want to remind you, I've been involved in the counter-cult ministry for the last 15 years, and so my excitement about these pre-recorded teachings is about bringing the attention to the understanding of the prophecies concerning the mystery of Babylon, and how is it in effect today as we live. And, you know, in reaching out to Jehovah's Witnesses, I also try to bring attention about Freemasonry. Freemasonry is self-identified as Babylonian, and they've infiltrated many of our Christian churches. And so this is a subject I look forward to hopefully tackling with you at some time in the future. And with that being said, God bless you both, and I wish you the very, very best.
Okay, Josh, thank you so much. We appreciate that. Alex, you know, in the doing an overview, you know, we don't go into it as depth as we could if we were doing it like at a local church. When I did the Book of Revelation through, it took me a lot longer than what we do in this in the seven hours that we spend on it. And even in the Book of Proverbs, we tried to take selected proverbs and give an example of what, you know, the wisdom passages in Proverbs were about. But it is an excellent source to let you know, to get you started in those books, isn't it?
Well, it really is. And in fact, I'd like to read a proverb right now. You know, wisdom is of God. God is the foundation of wisdom. And if we are wise, we'll fear God, we'll honor God. And Bert, it's just so beautiful in chapter 8 of Proverbs. Now, folks, just listen to this, and you'll get this in the study. But it says, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil or hate sin. And it says, counsel is mine, sound wisdom. And then, folks, I don't know about you, but we all need counsel. But listen to this. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. This is Proverbs 8:17. Riches and honor are with me, yea, durable riches and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold. Bert, the way to success, and I'm not just talking about worldly success, but I'm talking about a life that counts, meaning, purpose, fulfillment, perhaps even prosperity. It all begins with making Jesus Christ Lord of your life. The wisest thing you'll ever do is to admit that in and of yourself, you're not wise, but you can come to the one who is wisdom, and that's the Lord Jesus.
Amen. I just want to tell you, a biblical worldview centered on Jesus Christ is the smartest thing you'll ever do. Okay?
That's right.
Why to say a biblical worldview? You need to look at the whole counsel of God centered in Jesus Christ. And I want to tell you, it is a guide that will steer you well. And so we hope Proverbs and Revelation does that for people. Okay, let's go to North Carolina and talk to Lewis. Lewis, welcome to Exploring the Word.
Good evening, gentlemen. How are we doing?
Doing good. What part of North Carolina are you from, Lewis?
Well, I'm from Jacksonville. This is not my first time calling and then talking to you folks. But when I was hearing you, and I don't have anything to ask or to add, but just to, when I felt in my heart, I just needed to call you folks and commend you. I can just feel the humbleness when you guys are just preaching the word and talking so honestly. And Alex, you just mentioned something which pretty much is profound to what I'm about to say. Legacies. Yes, we will leave a legacy, but the legacy we will leave is all about the Lord. And you folks on the radio really show that. And I just want to thank you and bless you for this.
Okay, thank you. Listen.
Bless you, brother.
You better listen. Alex, I know Alex. Alex knows me. We appreciate each other. But we know the very best two things that we have is Jesus Christ as Savior, and the other one is the wives we married, okay?
Yeah.
That's
yep.
The thing that, and I don't say that in any way except truthful. And Alex, you came to the Lord because of your wife and Angie inviting you to a Bible study. Isn't that right?
That's right. She was in nursing school. I was at another college locally. I'm ashamed to tell you, I first asked Angie out to come hear my band play at a fraternity party that had free beer. And she said, no thanks. And so she began to invite me to church. And she said, look, I won't go out with you. You come to church and we'll someday discuss going out, but you get in church. And I'm saved because Angie literally pestered me till I started coming to church very grudgingly, began to get under conviction, heard the gospel, Holy Spirit of God worked on my heart, and I realized I needed to get saved.
Amen.
So, yes, We're so blessed. But, sir, thank you for calling. I do want to give the number, 888-589-8840.
That is the number.
It won't be hard. You'll get it memorized, 888-589-8840. And you're right, but the caller's very correct. I mean, everybody will leave some kind of a legacy, won't they, Bert?
They will. And I just want to say, my wife, Jan, I met her after I saved, but a very important time in my life where I, you know, faith will be tested. You know, we talk about a crisis of faith during that period of time. Which way am I going? What direction am I going to do with my Christian life? And after I met Jan, and she introduced me to the Bible Memory Association, it's called BMA back then, where you memorize Scripture. And if I was going to go with her, I was going to have to memorize Scripture. So I had to memorize 99 verses every year. And wow. They have stood me well. So our wives, so when Lewis hears the, I hope it is real. I hope it is real. Alex and I are just overwhelmed with the grace of God. That's what the humility is, and Amen. We do appreciate that. So thank you, Lewis. Let's go to Texas and talk to Bobby. Bobby, welcome to Exploring the Word.
Oh, thank you, Bert and Alex. And that's just wonderful, that testimony you guys give about your wife, because as you was all speaking, it just, my memory came back to me about the wisdom of God is referred to as she in the Old Testament.
Yeah.
She was there before the foundations was created, being wisdom. So without telling our wives that they're smarter than us, they are.
Amen. Amen, so, Bobby.
Anyway, my question is this. Praise the Lord, I have finished the Old Testament for the second time, but I've also found the same attributes of Revelation chapter 6, I believe, verse 12, lists the seven spirits of God. And it specifically says the seven spirits of God was given to Jesus, the only Lamb worthy. And I want to know if those seven spirits are literally, or are they figuratively an attribute of God's character?
Okay. Alex, you got the question?
Yeah, and I would say I think you nailed it, because we know there's one Holy Spirit that's part of the Godhead, the essence, the nature of God. And in Revelation, you know, well, in several places in Revelation, it talks about the seven spirits of God. And back in Isaiah, it talks about the Spirit of the Lord resting on the Savior, and it says the Spirit of wisdom, the Spirit of understanding, counsel, might, the Spirit of the knowledge of the fear of the Lord. That's in Isaiah chapter 11. So I think what we're talking about, whether it's the seven spirits mentioned in Isaiah 11 or the seven spirits of God mentioned in the churches of Asia Minor there, they're not different entities or beings, because there's only one God. And there's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, one God, three personalities within the Godhead, but one God. By the way, we're not polytheists. We're not tritheists. There's one God. But I do think it would be fair to say different characteristics or attributes of this one God. Now, the churches, it does seem to indicate, Bert, that the churches have angels assigned to them, you know.
Right.
And
the messenger, you know, messenger and angel, you know, it's really the same word, angelos.
It is. Angelos is messenger.
It's a transliteration. This is a good time to just talk about that. There's some words in the Greek language that were not translated, they were transliterated. In other words, they transferred the sound over rather than the meaning. And that's one of them, isn't it?
It is. You know, it's interesting. In Revelation chapter 3, it says that Jesus, quote, holds the seven spirits of God or possesses or controls. So the spirits that oversee the churches are messengers and, as you know, angels are created beings. They're wise, they're powerful, they're godly. The non-fallen angels, that is, the angels, the two-thirds of all the angels that serve God. But they're not God. And so there are the spirits of God that are angels, but then there are, as the caller said, the attributes or characteristics of God that are often referred to as God's spirit, the spirit of wisdom, the spirit of understanding, the spirit of knowledge, the spirit of power, Isaiah 11 says.
The numerology in the Bible, the study of numbers, is important. And I've seen people go, in my thoughts, Alex, just mine, go too far. You know, the number of fish they had, well, that's how many fish they caught. But any time seven like this, seven spirits, seven churches, there has to be that of not necessarily perfection, but completion. You know,
very good, yeah.
And I, in other words, Jesus Christ is completely God. He has everything, every attribute that God the Father has, Jesus Christ has. And that goes back to, John 1. And so I believe that is helpful to understand that, even if you can't discern every bit of that, which one it is. I think you do see the completeness of Christ. Mm-hmm. Let's go to, we got time. Let's go to Tennessee and talk to Jeremy. Jeremy, welcome to Exploring the Word.
Hey, thank you. I would like to say, first and foremost, you guys are awesome. My question is, if Lucifer, he fell, did he have free will? And if he had free will, I thought we were the only creatures that God made with free will, but obviously he rebelled against God. So the next question to that would be, once we die and go to heaven, and after Revelations, after all that, are we still going to have free will, and is there going to be a chance that we would sin at that point?
Oh, wow. Great second part of the question, Alex, that I really, I had not thought that through. Angels had a choice, but it seems like there was just one time to exhibit it, you know?
Right.
And we, as human beings, we have more than that. I thank God. I've asked people, how many of you responded to God in positive, saying yes to him the first time you know that you were drawn by the Holy Spirit? And I have had folks hold up their hands and say they did. Alex, I'm not one of them. I just put God off for about 2 years, even as a 10 to 12-year-old boy. But praise the Lord, he did give us a second chance. The angels seem like they only got one. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. Vance Havner, we quoted Vance Havner, and one time Vance Havner, and great preacher, by the way, he was very influential in the life of Billy Graham becoming an evangelist. So Vance Havner was a wise man of God, passed away some 30 years ago. But Vance Havner was preaching on Revelation 22. Revelation 22 says, let him who is righteous be righteous still. Let him who is unrighteous be unrighteous still. And Vance Havner said this, Bert. He said, there's coming a time when what you are is what you will be forever. A fixed time.
That's a good.
The angels had their test. You know, remember back in Revelation, was it Revelation chapter 12, where it says that the dragon swept a third of the stars out of the sky? Revelation 12:4, which a lot of scholars take to mean that when Lucifer attempted his coup of heaven, he basically persuaded one-third of the angels to join him in a failed coup attempt, and one-third of the angels fell. Now, stay tuned, because we're going to talk about the question, could we fall after we get to heaven? Stay tuned.
That's a question. Jeremy's asked one of the questions. He wins today that we've never been asked before here on Exploring the Word. So stay tuned for more here on the American Family Radio.
Your American Family Association will never quit.
We will never quit, ever.
We will continue to stand for God's truth as long as we have breath and the religious liberty to do so.
We believe that God might still show mercy to America by sending revival.
So, we will continue to be salt and light in our nation.
Thank you for standing with the American Family Association this year through your prayers, your financial partnership, and your determination to be salt and light where you live. In the days ahead, we ask for your continued involvement so that as battles arise, your American Family Association will be here to fight for your family, fight for America.
Let me tell you something. All God asks of you is faithfulness. That's it.
Today, when you give $35 or more, we'll send you the new book, Our Call to Faithfulness, The Voice and Legacy of Don Wildman. Visit afa.net/faithfulness.
Hello, I'm John Nyhoff, the president of Wesley Biblical Seminary in Jackson, Mississippi. Wesley Biblical Seminary provides a solid foundation based upon the inerrancy of the Bible and the call to holy living. Online or at our Jackson, Mississippi or Greenwood, Indiana campuses, our academically rigorous learning community will add incredible value to your Christian experience. Wesley Biblical Seminary, where faith and learning ignite with passion for Christ. WBS.edu.
Hello, friend. I'm Pastor Ron Jones, and I'm glad to tell you something good has come to American Family Radio. Something Good is a daily half-hour Bible teaching program that I'm hosting at 6:30 p.m. Central Time. In a world full of so much bad news, we're glad to bring you something good. Learn more at somethinggoodradio.org. That's somethinggoodradio.org.
We are going to the Holy Land in March. Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association and American Family Radio. I only lead one tour a year to Israel. It's not my day job. It's just an annual tour that I do as I learned from my dad how to take folks to Israel. And we're going to have a wonderful experience. Most of the folks going are listeners to American Family Radio, are supporters of American Family Association. And we're going to have a great time March 9th through the 17th. If you want information on this tour of the Holy Land, you can do it two ways. You can call us at 800-FAMILIES, option 5. 1-800-FAMILIES, option 5. That's families with an S. And leave us your name and your address, and we'll put a brochure in the mail to you. And if you want to go online, you can visit us at twholyland.com. twholyland.com. Again, won't be long till we close out this tour, so if you want more information, let us know.
Thanks for listening to Exploring the Word, and be sure to tell others about AFR Talk.
The Word of God is spoken. We are changed forever. Power of sin is broken. We are free. We are running to salvation.
Welcome back to Exploring the Word. Alex McFarland here with Bert Harper. Your Bible questions, the number to call toll-free nationwide, 888-589-8840. Before the break, we were talking about the fact that, there are three class of creatures that have free will: animals, humans, and angels. Now, animals have free will, but they can't make moral choices. But humans and angels definitely can make moral choices. Now, the human race is in the process right now of every human alive either has Christ or needs Christ. But the angels, at some time in eternity past, there was a test, and one-third of the angels turned away from God and fell. Those are now demons. Two-thirds of the angels chose to stay true to God. Now, the question is, once we get to heaven, will we ever sin or could we fall? And the answer is no. Because if you're a born-again Christian, you're secure in Christ, your destiny is fixed. The New Testament talks about, quote, the elect in heaven being sealed. And Ephesians 4:30, 1 Timothy 5 talks about the elect being sealed. So the test for angels, will an angel spend eternity with God in heaven? The test was, you're going to stay with God or you're going to follow Lucifer? So their decision was at some point in eternity past. Our test, are you going to be with God in heaven or are you going to be separated from God? That test happens in this life. And here is the one question on the exam. Will you receive Christ as your Savior? Bert, that's the test. And you've got one lifetime in which to decide your answer.
That's it. And we pray that you have chosen Christ. If you're struggling with that and you need someone to talk to, there's a number that you can call. It's 888-NEED-HIM. And you can go online if you're one of those bloggers or what. You can go to chataboutjesus.com, chataboutjesus.com, and that way you can if you're one of those guys. My mouth, talking moves a lot quicker than my fingers on a keyboard, so I'm more of a caller than I am a chatter on the line. But thank you, Jeremy, for that intriguing and really good question. We appreciate it. Let's go to Alabama and talk to Jeff. Jeff, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for taking my call. It's more of a concern than it would be a question, possibly. I've been listening, and that's some great information. I pay attention to politics, and I'm a born-again believer, and there is a concern that has kind of crept up, I would say, over the last couple of weeks that I've been paying a little bit closer attention to the world view. Unity without truth is still a lie. What is going to be, in your estimation, thought process of unity here? In specific, I'm seeing and hearing people talk about unity. And one thing that grabbed my attention real quick, and I just like your thoughts on this. Where are we going to be if the Protestants do not protest? I heard a guy say this last night. If they don't protest, then we're kind of caving in to the new religion. If we don't stand up for the truth of the Bible, we're going to fall to something that is dire, I'm afraid. How do we? I understand. I love everybody. I could care less about what they believe as far as a basis of eternal love for my fellow man. But how do we balance? How's this going to play out? We're not protesting. If we're falling into a false unity, it's kind of a shaky the believers.
Jeff, I think that, again, observation, yes. What do you unify about? Alex, when you talk about unity, there's a union and then there's unity. And I just want to give you this, Jeff, and it my humor or lack of it sometimes comes up. You can tie two cat's tails together and you've got a union, but I guarantee you you'll never have unity, okay? Now, think about that, what that means. If you ever seen a cat, real cat fight, I mean, I've seen dog fight and cat fights. I'm from the rural area, and I've seen both of them. Cat fights, I'm telling you, they're
horrible.
You
don't want to get near that.
You don't want to get near it. They forget who they're clawing and biting. They jump on the other person or the person that's watching. But you're right. That's the reason we go back, Alex, and we're going to answer this as quick as we can. A biblical worldview centered in Jesus Christ. We've got to do that. Now, if people will come along with us on moral issues, we stand on moral issues. You do in a society. But on salvation, it is only through Christ, and we die on that hill. We stake it down on that hill. But we can, come together on some social issues with work with those that may not be as adequate as they should be. Alex, give a answer to that as well.
And caller, thank you for bringing this up, because very astute observation. And Bergeron, okay, there's issues of morality, and there's issues of, here's a big word for you, soteriology. There's a Greek word, soterios, and that means to save. So anytime we're talking about the plan of salvation, that is under the heading of soteriology. Now, morality, everybody all over the world has an understanding of right versus wrong, the moral issues. But the salvation issues, soteriology, that's Jesus, the one and only Savior. Now, Bert is right. When it comes to the plan of salvation, hey, it's Jesus and Jesus alone, and we would die on that hill. But a lot of great thinkers over years past, I think of the great Francis Schaeffer, C.S. Lewis, Jerry Falwell, you know, Billy Graham, different leaders, James Dobson. When it comes to the moral issues that really are the fiber of an orderly society, it is fine, it is appropriate to link arms even with people that may not agree on soteriology, but they do agree on morality. Now, Bert, let me tell you one more thing right quick. In September of 2009, there were about 50 of us. We gathered in New York City at the invitation of Chuck Colson. And we wrote a thing called the Manhattan Declaration. And there was Ravi Zacharias was there, Tim Keller was there, I was there, Al Mohler was there. We basically said three things: that we believe in religious freedom, we believe in traditional marriage, we believe in the sanctity of human life. And a lot of people signed it, Protestant, Catholic, some non-Christians. Well, there were some in the Christian world that said, hold on just a minute, you know, you compromisers, take your name off of that, you know, what concord hath Christ with Belial? And we said, look, this is not about plan of salvation. We're just trying to tell the U.S. government that we are leaders, and we believe in religious freedom, we believe in marriage, we believe in life. And you know, Bert, the Manhattan Declaration, which was a moral document, it was not about how to get saved. So I think that there's unity around the banner of Christ regarding salvation, but there can be, I think it can be beneficial, there can be unity around just the moral foundations of a society that would have us maybe link arms even with people that otherwise we don't have too much in common. But what we do have in common is we want to preserve an orderly society.
Amen. We link those arms for that moral issue, but we stand in the truth of who Jesus Christ is. You can do both. And I just want to say Don Wildman set that up in our mission statement here at AFR, is to be an activist group to educate and notify people, but at the same time aid the church in carrying the Great Commission at home and abroad. And yes, we can do that. And I, man, but that is an observation, not unity for all sakes. Sometimes there's got to be a time where you cannot unite, especially on the issue of salvation. Matt called in and he had this question real quickly, and we can answer this very quickly, I think. How long ago did God create us? Was it close to, say, 6,000 or 8,000 years ago, Alex? What would your estimate be?
I actually believe that creation was about 6,000 years ago, maybe at the most 6,000 to 10,000 years ago.
I agree with you. Okay, let's do it short so we can get as many as we can. That's a quick answer. And his other question.
So I'm a young Earth creationist.
I'm a young Earth guy too. Go to the Creation Museum and you'll find evidence of it. I'm just telling you that.
Very compelling reasons.
You bet. How come Solomon had so many wives? You know, people have blind spots, right? I found out after reading the Bible, some of the preconceived ideas that I had were wrong. And then I started reading the Bible and found out, man, I was wrong. Solomon was just wrong about having so many wives, wasn't he?
He really was. I mean, God allowed it. I mean, the Bible says Solomon had 1,000 wives and concubines. God permitted it, but God did not condone it.
Amen. And that's important. And the what is that you say about the Bible reporting things, but yet not?
Not everything that the Bible reports is the Bible affirming.
That's it. And you need to remember that. People say, I read it in the Bible. And about David having many wives, Solomon had many wives. That doesn't mean it is of God. Let's go to Ohio and talk to Josh. Josh, welcome.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I was calling to ask about Peter being crucified. I've heard you, Alex, and some other Bible teachers mention Peter being crucified upside down. But I just read through the Bible for the first time reading the Bible for the first time for a couple months ago, and I didn't see that anywhere in the Bible, so I was curious.
Okay, great observation. Let me see, do we have any history of the church other than the Bible, Alex?
Well, I want to recommend a really good book by my friend Sean McDowell. Now, Sean McDowell, listen to this, folks. He and I are going to share the stage together at the EngageMagazine.net conference created to reflect. And I would encourage you to go to the website EngageMagazine.net. Sean McDowell is a great scholar, and he and I are going to be there in March. But he wrote a book called The Fate of the Apostles. And, you know, we hear this claim that Peter was crucified upside down, and Jesus seemed to allude to that even in the Gospel of John. What Sean did, a very great book, he goes through all of the martyrs of the apostles that knew Jesus. You know, was John boiled in oil on the Isle of Patmos? Was Peter crucified by Nero in Rome? And he documents, you know, how the followers of Jesus really were you know, martyred for their faith. And it comes to us from early church, you know, historians and leaders like Origen. And, you know, there were Justin Martyr and Origen, and there was a historian named Hadrian. And so let me recommend Sean McDowell's book. And generally, I do believe church history has been true on this, but The Fate of the Apostles by Sean McDowell.
Let me just tell you, there is no doubt that Thomas went to India, and you don't find that in the scriptures, but you find over in India, you will find a marker telling you about, you know, thanking them for Thomas being there. Matthew, no doubt, went to south to in Africa. So we have that. And so, Josh, good question, though. Great question today. So we're going to try to get one more in, and we're going to go to Illinois for that and talk to Joe. Joe, welcome.
Hey, how you doing today?
Thanks doing for great, brother. Yes.
Hey, I was listening yesterday and then today, and there seems to be a lot of questions about the triune nature of God, so I was just going to put my little two cents in that.
Go ahead, man.
We believe in one God, that self-existent, eternal, that decided to make children for himself and reveal himself to them. So since God is spirit, he creates this whole spiritual world, whereby he creates this physical world. But in the Old Testament, you see this angel of the Lord or the word of the Lord show up, and he's used synonymously with the Lord himself. So we've got this physical manifestation of God in the Old Testament, and Jesus is just the permanent physical manifestation of God.
Okay. Let me ask this. He does seem, let me say this, Joe, when Jesus was resurrected, guess what he had? He still had a body, because he told Thomas, feel the nail prints in my hand and plunge your hand into my side. I've heard this, Alex. Is it true? The only thing in heaven that's man-made are the wounds of Jesus?
Yeah, that's right. The only thing there that was made by man are the wounds in the hands of Jesus.
Yep.
But, you know, it's amazing that Christ was willing to undergo what he did for our salvation, incarnating himself, then, you know, being in a resurrected body after the empty tomb. If you read about, especially in like 1 Corinthians chapter 15, how he was seen alive, and in Luke 24, I think 24:36, he says, touch me and see, a spirit hath not flesh and bones as you see me have.
So
Christ really invested in our salvation to the point of taking on a body for it. Now, a resurrected body, but he'll have that body from now on.
He does. The incarnation is more than just that babe in the manger. We're talking about an eternal change in a nature from the spiritual to fleshly. Just get that around your brain. It's bigger than me, Alex. He did love us, didn't he?
Oh, for God so loved the world that he sent his son. There's a volume of meaning in there.
There is. Thank you for listening to Exploring the Word. We'll be back tomorrow, and we'll have Fire Away. We'll have all three segments. Get your questions ready.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.